This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. If you're experiencing withdrawal from the Winter Olympics with some especially exciting cross-country ski racing, you might be able to get some relief by checking out an event this week in Craftsbury. The Craftsbury Outdoor Center is hosting an event in the Ski Orienteering World Cup. What is ski orienteering? Glad you asked. Joining us now from Craftsbury is the lead course setter, Alex Jospe. She was on the U.S. National Ski-O team from 2007 to 2015, and she can explain it all to us. Hi, Alex. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Jane.
I am chagrined to admit that I had never heard of ski orienteering before last week, let alone known that there was a World Cup where countries field national teams and that it was happening right here in Vermont. So can you explain ski orienteering for the uninitiated?
Sure. Well, to be fair, it is a niche sport, two niche sports combined into something even more specialized. So it's no surprise you hadn't heard of it. It is, in essence, a ski race, only you don't know where you're going until the start when somebody hands you a map. And on the map are a series of controls, and whoever navigates most quickly to the controls wins the race. They have to do it in the right order. And you can use any form of skiing, but it's usually done in the skate style.
You know, if I were doing it, I would look for someone like you. And if I could keep up, I would just try to follow you and thereby, you know, win the race or come in second. So how do you avoid that kind of problem?
Yes, well, it is a relatively simple problem that orienteers solve in the most complicated way possible. So the races are run in different types of styles, and most frequently they're run individual starts. So every minute, for example, one skier goes off, and that's enough separation that you can't just catch up to somebody and follow them around. Unless, of course, somebody makes a big mistake. So sometimes you do end up with packs of skiers skiing together. Then there's the more complicated versions where on the map you may do three loops, for example. In every loop, you change out your map for a new one. And so you may be on any order of the loops on that map, and you may see people in the forest, but you don't know which loop they're on. So that sort of helps with some spreading. And then there are other even more complicated ways of forking the courses so that, you know, all the skiers hit a common control and then go off and do a little mini loop back to the common control. And all of this serves to really spread people out so that you don't have too much blatant following.
And when you talk about the control, this is like a point in the landscape where you have
yes.
to go and do something to say, I promise I've been here. I actually
exactly.
hit this
point. Exactly. So all competitors are carrying an electronic timing chip, and in the forest there's a orange and white flag with a electronic timer there, and you come close within 50 centimeters or something, and your timing chip beeps and flashes so you know you've been there, and then at the end it will you download all of the data and you can see how long it took to get to every control. It's like a Insta Strava GPS kind of situation. And so when we say control, those really are just the checkpoints that are marked on your map as a purple circle.
So when it comes to the skills, are there ski-o racers who are really fast but less good at the map reading, the orienteering part of it, versus people who are really good at the map and compass part and less skilled at skiing?
Absolutely. You have the full range, and the beauty of this sport is that it really is a choose-your-own-adventure. You can go any way you want from one control to the next. And so if you know that you are a very strong skier but maybe not so good at the navigation, you may choose a longer route that's simpler. Whereas if you know you're very good at navigation, you say, oh, I can just zig and zag my way to get to the control, and it may be, you know, more map reading, but that makes up for the fact that I don't have to go so far.
So there
really
are trails, but you don't have to use all of them.
That is correct. So we usually run the events at an existing ski area. Like this week, we're using the Craftsbury Outdoor Center, which is just a fantastic event venue. And they have an existing network of wide piston bully groomed trails. And then in between those trails, we create a network of much smaller trails that are maybe 4 feet, 3 to 4 feet wide. And we just groom those with a snowmobile. And so all of these trails are on the map. And for the most part, the skiers will stay on the trails. But sometimes when the conditions are right, you can crust skate really fast. Or even in deep snow, you can make a downhill shortcut, and it's very effective. So any way you want to play it, there's your game.
How do you actually set the course for this? You're the lead course setter for this World Cup event this week. How did you do that? What do you actually do?
Well, I start with the map, which is based on the GPS tracks from the snowmobiles that have been making the map. And then I place the controls using, I have to consider the strengths and the situation of the competitors. So we have three different events going on here. One is the World Cup finals, and those people they're really strong, they're really fast, they can handle all sorts of technical challenges. And then we have the World Masters World Championships, and they are all generally very good skiers and very good navigators, but as you get a little older, you're less interested in taking some of the risks that a 20-year-old might find fun. So for that case, we want to set courses that are still interesting and challenging, but not dangerous. And the final event that's going on in conjunction with this is the U.S. Championships, and those are run on the World Masters courses. So I have to take all of that into account when setting the courses, and we have something like 12 to 15 different courses every day.
Wow. What's happening right now as we talk here in the noon hour on Monday?
Right now, there's a lot of the teams they're checking in. The Craftsbury Outdoor Center is such a great place to stay because all of the food is on site, the lodging is on site, and the staff are super helpful. So everybody is sort of getting settled and checking in. There's a little practice area that we have set up that we call a model event. And people can go there and see what the map, because that's mapped in the same manner as the real area. So they can see how the mapping is. They can try the punching system for the controls. They can do all of this.
So like anybody could. I mean, you could show up and say, I just want to know what this is like. And you could try that sort of test run.
Absolutely.
And can people watch this if people go to Craftsbury this week?
Yeah. So it's difficult to make this a spectator sport. One of the things they do in Europe is every competitor, and I should say this sport is very big in Europe compared to how it is here. So every competitor will carry a GPS that is feeding a live stream to a map. And so you can see the little dots moving around and be like, ooh, that person is winning. And ooh, that person just made a terrible mistake. But unfortunately, in this area of the country, we don't have good enough cell service to run the GPS network. So that means we have to try a little harder to have these remote controls that are connected back into the race office via a radio so that when everyone skis by it, we can have instant splits. And the announcer has to relay that information to the spectators. And so they'll come through the stadium once or twice, but it's very difficult to make this a spectator-friendly sport without the GPS tracking.
Yeah, I can see that. Yes. And again, not very good cell service. Hits us again in Vermont.
Yep.
Alex, you were on the U.S. national team for nearly a decade. What do you find so appealing about ski orienteering?
This sport is just the most fun you are ever going to have on skis. It mixes, really technical, fun skiing with an element of a puzzle, because you're reading this map as you're going at full speed and you want to make sure you choose the right route. And so it's this mental stimulation mixed with the physical endorphins that just is so much fun. You finish a ski orienteering race and you're like, that was awesome. I made this huge mistake here and this little mistake here, and I want to go do it again because I bet I could shave 30 seconds off in that area or whatever it might be for you.
Well, you are actually making it sound very appealing, so I appreciate that, although I don't think I could do either part of it very well. I'm tempted to go try it now just because of your enthusiasm.
You absolutely should. We have open races on both Tuesday night and on Saturday, and this is a sport that can appeal to everybody from, the crazy World Cup racers to, I think our oldest is somebody in the 85-plus category, and you don't need to be a great skier to get around the courses and experience the fun of using a map to propel yourself around the woods.
Alex Jospe set the course for the Ski Orienteering World Cup and World Masters Championship this week at the Craftsbury Outdoor Center. Alex, thank you so much for talking with us.
Of course.